And at 3.5 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, it's time for another episode of Uncensored with Penny Faree.
Good afternoon, Dave. Good afternoon to all our listeners. It's been an interesting week, hey? With everything that we are witnessing at the moment, I think anything could happen.
And it's been an interesting couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. I know we're going to have our political commentator, Warwick, in the studio as soon as we get... obviously a clue as to what the cabinet formation is going to be like. But right now, with the new political landscape, I know the next 5 years aren't going to be perfect, that's for sure. But there's potential for progress and change. And what I was thinking today, what's going to happen when the first parliamentary committee sits in on the National Health Bill Insurance or the Basic Education Law Amendment? What my worry was going through my mind was that I know I'm no expert, and this is just my opinion, is the fact that we won't have a robust opposition party at play. And obviously that's a discussion, you know, for our political commentator, Warwick Chapman. And as things stand, we're looking at the MK as official opposition. So look at them. I mean, today in KwaZulu-Natal, they took to the streets in Maritzburg where they marched to the High Court and they handed over a memorandum demanding a revote in the recent national elections. And then you looked, what are your thoughts? You looked at the former disgraced judge, John Schlope, and his crew of 58 yesterday when they were sworn in. Now, he's the first judge in democratic history to be removed from his position after he was found to have interfered with the functioning of the Constitutional Court. And then we also had Zuma's daughter. She was also sworn in, Jozila Zuma. And, we saw her actions during the insurgency and how she fueled the rioting. And she's shown complete disdain for the rule of law. And then we've got another MK, Andile Mstingatama. He led the racist organization, you know, Black Furs, Land Furs. And then
he was certainly a controversial character. Indeed, all those that you've mentioned are controversial characters. But I think it's better to have them in the set, if you like, than outside causing chaos. Yeah. Not that I believe there's much chaos left to be caused. I just have an idea that, you see, in 2021, when the dramatic riots and insurrection that set KZN and parts of Gauteng alight were taking place, there was not a policeman to be seen.
Yeah.
And the military was also kind of absent without leave. But that's because I think they were complicit to a degree.
Yeah,
maybe not actively, but certainly tacitly.
Yeah.
This time round, I think that all those bloated, high-ranking generals, etc., of which we've never had more general staff in the history of this country than we have right now. The police force is awash with generals. The military is awash with I think there are more generals than constables and trooper. But be that as it may, they all earn fabulous salaries.
Yeah.
And I think they've all been put on terms. And in other words, if you pull that one more time or even hint at being absent without, you're going to lose your pension and your salary. What do these guys dance to? It's really the tune of their own grandees, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
If you think about it, what's more important to the current elite, their bank balance or doing a good job for the country?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there is a strong presence here. But, you know, obviously with the MK, they called it in the media protest politics. You know, their supporters felt neglected and isolated by the
ANC. But I think it's a good thing to put on these shows of solidarity. You know, it almost is cathartic. It takes away the building pressure, because, you know, ultimately, if you don't release the pressure, it bursts, it explodes. So maybe these demonstrations of... it wasn't exactly a showstopper, I don't think, today.
No. I think, obviously, they're not wanting a recount, they're wanting a revote. But
the chances of that happening are...
Never. I mean, the IC did do a few bungles, but I think in all fairness, you know, the elections went on, they were fair, and they took place in an orderly manner. So everyone must accept that and now move on. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, when I looked at the party's manifesto again and how basically replacing the nationalize everything, replace the constitution, hold a referendum on the death penalty, reverse reforms. I mean, those are radical radical party manifesto. So I wonder if a lot of the people actually have read what the MK stands for. But anyway, I think in the next couple of weeks and years to come, it's going to be very interesting. We're going to have very interesting.
See, I think that as Warwick pointed out in one of our previous sessions, this is really almost a tribal coalescing around a strong character. Traditionally, it's been that way since one can look back at 1879, the big conflagration of the Zulu monarch versus Her Imperial Majesty Queen Victoria's forces, and the terror of all of that. But ultimately, King Cetshwayo at that stage had not been the chosen successor for his beloved old dad. You know, Mpande had chosen another. Mbuyazi had been chosen as his successor. It's not primogeniture like the British royalty. It's the king with his ibandla chooses his successor. In that case, he chose someone else. And what happened? Cetshwayo rallied his force, the Usutu faction, against Mbuyazi's Isikhosa faction, destroyed them on the banks of the Ndonda Guzuga, the battlefield, and became the new king of the. So what's going on with Zulu politics and the royal house is nothing new.
Okay.
And the new king is not overwhelmingly popular with the majority. So there could well be insurrection there. I'm just saying, I'm suggesting it could happen. But what do politically sensitive Zulu-speaking people coalesce around? Obaba. Jacob Zuma, because he's a strong character, but he's also an old. Can he really remain relevant for?
Well, he resonates with the voters, that's for sure.
Yeah, but while he's still around.
Yeah,
but remember, he was on medical parole a long time ago.
Well, alleged.
Well, no, he was on medical parole, whether he was sick or not. He was on medical. Uh-huh. But there must have been something to it. Anyway, one can speculate till the cows come home.
So a new premier yesterday visited Tongaat, and there was a media conference there, and he reiterated it. He's going to make sure that the funds that are the disaster funds that have been assigned to the Tongaat relief are going to be put to hold. And you know what? He's actually, it's just all systems go with him. I'm very impressed. So he was there with his cabinet. And it's good.
And who's in charge of finances?
It was a DA premier. Yeah, Francis Rogers. So it's going to be very interesting. We've got a good
isn't that a surprise? I mean, we interviewed Francois Rogers here a couple of weeks ago, and his chances of becoming the Minister of Finance in the provincial cabinet were at that stage not very strong.
Yeah.
And suddenly there he is.
It's going to be very interesting.
So I think that at least the money is in, because he impressed me. I think he's a man of integrity.
I think they've done a good job there. So just also now to just bring it back to the local side. I know, how's your sinuses? Everyone in the last couple of days has been complaining about the sinuses and the quality of the air. I mean, I've had a raging headache, and now I've got this unexplained headache, I go onto CAPSA's website and I log onto there because they've got live air quality monitoring stations happening in our area. And I go there and I look at the readings. And for anyone who doesn't know, Communities Against Pollution, they did a science-based community project where they've put some monitors in our region because we have had no monitoring for the last decade. So we haven't realized what the air quality is like. And when I looked at some of the readings, the alarm bells went off, and our air quality is actually far worse than it appears. And until last year, we've been pretty much in the dark. And currently, local government efforts remain much in shambles. And the CAPS monitors, they read the levels of the PM2.5, which we know is the silent killer. And in South Africa, the PM2.5 standard states that 24-hour average exposure should not exceed 40 microns for more than four days per year. So these standards obviously set to protect the public's health.
There's a little bit of an historic thing to this because one looks at Ballito and environs, and it is largely now populated with folk from upcountry, many of them from the industrial heartland. I mean, that's me. That's where I come from, Benoni. And we're very well aware of the heavy levels of pollution in the former mining towns and the industrial complex, because that's what it is. Maybe not so much currently with the electricity situation being what it is, but certainly that's pollution. And coming down to the coast, you look at these open green fields and the blue ocean and the wide open sky and the breeze blowing, and this is you know, you're breathing it all in, those positive negative ions, and feeling fabulous. But what one fails to take on board, we look straight away at the polluters. Oh, it's got to be that dump, that waste dump at New Gelderland, or it must be sappy, or, you know, the big... Traditionally, the biggest polluters in this area, and I hate to say it because it's going to upset some of my mates.
I know what you're going to say.
But this burning of sugarcane. Yeah.
You know, it's such a contentious issue.
That is a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's on an industrial scale. People don't realize because it's just natural stuff burning.
You know what? It's not natural stuff because sugarcane is one of the most sprayed crops around.
Well,
so when you burn it, you get all these toxins in the air that sit there, and obviously, you know.
Well, you see, we've accepted it because it's an it's an agricultural. You know, one assumes agriculture is kind of not too bad. You think that heavy oils and chemical, that's bad, and metals, steel.
No, those
absolutely not. The microns you're talking about are coming
into your blood system, and that is the insidious cancer-forming stuff. But you know what? I had so many debates about this because CAPS, Paolo from CAPS says you cannot point any fingers until you have data, and you can't rule out all industries and every industry until you basically can isolate it. But now, you know, when the sugar burning industry happens, I mean, the sugar burning starts at a certain time of the year in March, then you can start looking at the levels that are happening. And it's a contentious issue because we've got lots of emerging farmers in the area with sugarcane farmers, huge.
But you know what's contentious? Here is the thing. You don't have to burn sugarcane to clear it.
Yeah,
clear it.
The green harvesting.
There's a system of trashing which actually works better for the land because it leaves behind the leaves, the trash, literally, that comes off the cane before it's loaded.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit more labor intensive. So obviously the cost of the farmer probably is higher. But then he has to use less fertilizers on the land because there's mulching.
There's pros and cons,
So you can get rid of the intense burning.
Countries have done it.
By educating and legal. Because bottom line is, I hate to say it again.
Is it sustainable?
The local economy is no longer driven by agriculture alone. It used to be. But now it's been surpassed by all sorts of other activities that are more valuable. Tourism is more valuable by far.
Yeah.
So one needs to look very, very closely at the priorities. And I hope our new dispensation is going to be doing that.
Yeah, you know, this month, the readings were alarming. I just want to say last week on June 19th, we've got PM2.5 levels, which said above 40 is really high. You're exceeding the national health. We were at 485 that was recorded. I mean, anything above 40 is considered a health hazard. So in the past 2 weeks, we've had levels above 40 recorded almost daily. And the national level said you can't have the exceedance, can't be above 40 more than 4 times a year. We are having that on a daily basis. Mm. So that's how critical it is. And I think there has to be some sort of participation now with civic organizations, with local government. Local authorities need to come there because they're not performing their tasks right now. They obviously it's severely constrained. But they have, it's law, you know, it's our constitutional right is to have clean. Parties need to be, be invited, and we all need to come and have a dialogue about this going forward and how can everyone benefit, because this is not sustainable. I know that. So we're going to keep monitoring this, putting attention to it. And I think also CAPS is looking to put more air monitors on the ground as well to help isolate. Also just make sure that obviously without legislation, there's a lot of industry now that are really, you know, willy-nilly just burning and going for it because no one's there to hold them accountable. So they are actually also towing the line as well. And those guys also need to pull, some sort of
weight. I think the bottom line is that if everyone works together for the common good,
I agree,
overseen by a responsible local government, these are things that we can solve. And that's the good news. You know, they're not insoluble problems.
And the good thing is we do have strong civic society here in our region. And we've got amazing people who are looking after our backs and who are happy to take on, issues that
But we also need to be a lot more proactive individually to support these organizations and to join where we are called to let your voice be heard.
Yeah. Our ratepayers associations have to be supported, everyone.
Yeah, there's no knight on one of those old images of someone coming to save you, the cowboy on the horse or the knight on the charger.
No, you can't rescue. Yes, you have to rescue yourself. That's what I always used
to
say.
We
need to rescue ourselves. As a community. And obviously, DOCRAS and all the civic organizations have gotten behind the fight to reinstate the suspended chief financial officer, Shamir Rajkumar. He's been on precautionary suspension since July last year. And the ANC-led council, including opposition parties, have not supported his suspension, and they've been calling for his reinstatement. Now, there's a petition circulating on the WhatsApp groups and also on the sites with all the civil societies and ratepayers association. So if anyone hasn't signed it, you guys need to go there and sign the petition. It's very important. Currently, there's a big battle going on. A lot of the ANC councils have been boycotting the council meeting, you know, preventing the necessary quorum from being reached. And obviously, this is also having an impact on our service delivery.
And the reason behind that, I believe, is that they no longer support their former political structure. They have now all joined MK.
Well, no. Well, apparently, but nothing's set in stone.
Yeah,
that's
what's happening. We've all heard that story. Yeah. So the thing is that it is not the African National Congress now causing the blockage. It is they hold ANC positions, but they.
MK banner.
They've kind of walked across the line.
Nothing official yet. So until then, they're still operating under the ANC umbrella. So I know today there was a council meeting behind closed doors to discuss this ongoing matter. What they're wanting to do is they want to put a motion forward into council tomorrow, because there's a council meeting tomorrow, to bring back the CFO to reinstate it. And the MM, without a...
But who's they?
All the councillors and the opposition parties. Everybody in council is supporting his reinstatement.
And who's blocking that?
The municipal manager is refusing.
Only one man?
Well, I don't know who he's operating under. You know, when I reached out to KDM for comment, they said it's sub judice, so they can't give me comment.
Which
obviously
doesn't exist in South African law, as we've
established
discussed.
That. Yeah. So they, together with opposition parties, are calling for his reinstatement. And it's become heated. Some of the ANC councillors are claiming that there's been life threats against them at the moment, and there's these WhatsApps circulating at the moment. I've got a whole lot of WhatsApps that I still have to go through. It's getting very heated. You know, they've spent over 3 million rand of ratepayers' money defending Rajkumar's suspension over a matter dating back to 2018. So it's going to be interesting. But tomorrow's council meeting is going to be interesting, because the audit report for the municipality's third quarter, which ends March of this year, which ended, will be presented. I did look at the report, which was put together by independent audit committee, and I'm just going to there were three critical matters that the audit committee raised in the report. First, the underspending of the capital budget, which was, as of the end of March, was sitting at 42%. Now, this is an area where the municipality has consistently underperformed, and capital budget, 42%. I'm going to leave the ratepayers to unpack that in the coming weeks. And the second one was the material energy losses for the third quarter. They were at 25%. So the national standard's between 6 and 12%. And in monetary terms, that sits close to 300 million if the current trend continues for the 24-25 year. So in the last financial year ending 22-23, they lost 262 million rand in electricity losses that were recorded. So, and despite opposition parties and ratepayer associations voicing their concerns for the past few years, little has changed. So, you know, and of course the cost is borne by the ratepayers, who've you were hit hard with a 10.5% electricity hike this new financial year. And 51% of KDM's main revenue stream comes from electricity tariffs, which is followed by the property rates at 26.9. So that's going to be interesting. And then obviously the other one that they flagged was the continued incurrence of irregular expenditure. That was also flagged by the auditors. They stated that the disturbing pattern is the recurrence of these challenges over the past 3 years. And it also mentioned the vacant CFO position. And they said it's putting the municipality at risk when it comes to financial management. So this is going to be obviously presented to council tomorrow. There's some key issues that need to be discussed at council meeting tomorrow.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to sit in on that.
And it won't be boycotted.
And it won't be boycotted. And you'll be able to come back before the end of the week and unpack these very, very concerning and disturbing issues on an irregular edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree. But that's what we've got time. That's all we've got time for now. Time to wrap it up for this edition. Going up as a podcast shortly. So if you've only just joined us and you've missed out on the main points, well, you'll be able to catch up via our podcast platform online. And Penny will be back in studio, if not in the next couple of days, then certainly again next Wednesday. Thanks, Penny.
Bye, everyone.